Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me to the Epistle to Romans and chapter 7, and we'll read the chapter in its entirety this evening before reading the first psalm as well. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law have dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of the sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then turning to the first psalm, Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so reads the word of God, and we ask his blessing upon it. Amen. Last time, when I was unable to preach the Lord's word, we began to look at the word delight and where it is found in our English translation of the word of God. And last time we considered that verse in Psalm 37 and verse 4 that says, delight thyself in the Lord. We considered from that psalm how if we delight ourselves in the Lord and his ways, we will not fret or envy the wicked. We will also be caused to pray aright and will be granted those rightful desires. We'll also be caused to commit our ways unto him, and we will also learn to be content with our ways. But this evening, with the Lord's help, I'd like to now consider another occurrence of this word, delight, as it is found in Psalm 1, and also we'll touch upon it as it is found in Romans chapter 7. I mentioned last time, the occurrence of this word delight in Romans 7 is the only time is found in the New Testament, in our English Bibles. And this evening, I'd like to look at some of the reasons why we should delight in the word of, or the law of God, and the effect that that should have upon our lives, and what it should cause us to do. Firstly, we must ask ourselves what is meant here by the word law, or his law, as is found in Psalm 1. This case here, and also in Romans 7 verse 22, is taken by the commentators to mean the law of Moses, or the Pentateuch. In David's day, when he was caused to pen this psalm, he would have had that law of Moses. He would have been familiar with that law of Moses. Likewise, Paul would have been well versed in that law of Moses. As we've considered recently, only last Lord's Day, of Paul's testimony, and how he is brought up in that council of Gamaliel, he had been well versed in the law and its commandments. But we can also take this word law to mean the word of God, And by it we can say the word of God in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation. In David's day, he only had the first part of the word. In Paul's day, he likewise only had part of the word. But we can be thankful that in our day, we have the word of God in its entirety. We have it in a language that we can understand, in a translation that we can rely upon and trust in. And as we'll see, we should delight in this word. So then, first of all, we must ask ourselves, who delights in the law? Do all men delight in the law? But is it only certain individuals, or is it rather only certain individuals that delight in the law? This psalm contains the answer for us in its opening verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It is someone who is separate from the ungodly, someone who doesn't walk in their counsel, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. This psalm sets out two individuals, if you like. The blessed, we might like to also say the saint or the true believer of God, and the ungodly. We won't have time to consider the lot of the ungodly this evening, but their lot is also described in this psalm. We must understand from this that it is the blessed man who delights in the law of God, or the law of the Lord. The ungodly can have no delight in this law or the word of God. It condemns them, as we shall shortly see. It is contrary to their ways. They want nothing to do with it. We only have to ask the average person in the street what they think of the word of God. And what will they say? They'll say, it's some story. It is made up. It is not true. It was written by men. It contradicts itself. They'll want nothing to do with it. But the real reason the man of the world wants nothing to do with the word of God, seeks to try and downcast it, and cast it off as some false work, or something that's not really true, it is because the very word of God is disagreeable to their sinful nature, as we shall see. There may even be those of the world, or other men, who are like the Pharisees, who say that they keep the law in a certain way, or the rules of God, if you like, the commandments. The average man in the street may say, I've not killed anybody. I've not stolen. There may even be those that say, God's word can teach us good morals. It has good stories. It can teach us some values about life and how we should live. But those people can never and will never truly delight in the law. It's interesting preparation. My mind just turned briefly to that instant that our Saviour was caused to relate in Luke chapter 18 and verse 11 concerning that Pharisee that stood and prayed. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This describes many who say that they've kept some aspect of God's law. They boast that they've kept something of it. But notice in his prayer, not once does he say that he is a sinner. He likes to point to those things that he has done. He makes himself the doer of those things. He doesn't acknowledge God in any way. He is all of self. For the blessed to delight, for the blessed one to delight in the word of God or the law, that man must be one who is regenerate. As we read in Romans chapter 7, Paul says that he delighted in the law after the inward man. That is the new man. He had that new nature put in him. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul's new nature was agreeable to the law. Before the law, before that new nature, before that experience that he had on the Damascus Road, he was at enmity with that law. He was condemned by that law. And we can read in Romans how he was came to that realization by Christ that he was condemned by that law. And he tells us in that passage of how it was by the law that he came to know sin. It is by the law that he is condemned. And it is that warring that ends that chapter between the old and the new natures. How the old nature is at war with the law. For it is contrary to that old nature. The law of God is not something that we want to keep. It is not something our natural state, natural man, wants to keep. And this is something that Paul realizes and describes to us. Therefore, those who are blessed by salvation in Christ are those that can delight in the law. Then we need to further ask ourselves, why should the blessed delight in the law? We established that it is the regenerate who can delight in the law. We'll now move on to those reasons why they can. And again, Paul gives us the answer in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, he says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Paul, in this epistle, tells us that we are made free from the law, but we're made free from the law by Christ. We can't keep the law. No man has ever been able to keep the law of God. There have been those that have strived to. The Pharisees did. But it was only an outward form, and they never truly kept it. There's only ever been one who's kept this law of God, and that is our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has fulfilled that law in every aspect. Galatians 3 and verse 13 tells us, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. By the law, each one of us have been cursed. Each one of us in our natural state was cursed by the law. But Christ has fulfilled that law and has made us free from it. And it is only through Christ that we can truly delight in the word, in the law of God. For in our natural state, we cannot delight in it, for we would be condemned. For without Christ, this law condemns all men to a lost eternity. Again, in Romans, we can see this in chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Paul tells us here to be carnally minded. Death, or to know death. That is the natural man not being able to delight in the law because they do not know Christ. We must also ask ourselves, how do we know that we need Christ? How do we know that we need to be saved, redeemed from this law that has cursed us? It is this law that we are known, made to be known, that we are sinners. Paul, again, tells us, it's a very well-known verse, in verse 7 of Romans 7. What shall we say then? Is law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Without this law of God, without the word of God, sin is not known. No, we would not have that holy standard by which we would know we would be judged in that final day. We would remain ignorant of our sins. But God has used his word, has caused the scales to fall from upon our eyes, to read his word and see that by his holy law, each one of us here were condemned by it. Again, in Galatians, Paul tells us in chapter 3, verse 24, that law is a schoolmaster. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that it might be justified by faith. The law has that purpose. It is not redundant, but it is used by God to bring sinners unto him. But we almost realise, as it is in this country's law, they say that ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. And it is the same for all sinners. Ignorance is not an excuse to ignorantly ignore God's word and his commands is not an excuse for the sinner and never will be. But by God's word, we come to realize that we are a sinful people and need Christ. Psalm 19 even tells us that God's law is perfect. We sung that rendition of that psalm as our second hymn. And in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's very law is a perfect law. We can take any aspect of God's law, we can take any aspect of our Bibles, and we can consider it. We can examine it. We can examine it from different angles, aspects, but we will never find an imperfection in it. We can compare Scripture with Scripture, and we shall see that it backs itself up. It is self-fulfilling. It doesn't need any external confirmation. Scripture, indeed, is perfect and confirms itself. It is a complete word, and we do not need to look anywhere else. David, writing that psalm, told us it is perfect and converts the soul. Within this word is written all that man needs to know to obtain salvation. Within the word of God, it is written all that we need to know to live by. It is the very words of life within this book that are to be found. As we said, without the law, without this word, we would not know sin. Therefore, we should delight in the law, for by it we know sin. But also, we know that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come, has walked upon this earth, and has kept that law, and fulfilled it in every aspect. And should not this cause us delight in the word of God, that despite being condemned by that word, we are also being redeemed by the one that has kept that law? The liberal churchman in this day and age makes a big deal about being free from the law. We only have to consider those passages in Romans to see what it is to be free from the law. That it requires Christ and his shedding of blood. But it is not to be treated as a light manner or as an excuse to continue in sin. Paul tells us in that chapter that we should, God forbid, that we should continue in sin. And we shall see that if we are to delight in God's word, we should also delight to try and keep those commandments, his word, and fulfill those aspects that we're commanded to. There's also another aspect that I'd like to briefly consider about God's word. We've considered, if you like, the spiritual aspect of it and how we know that we are a sinful people and are condemned by the law. Perhaps when we hear this word law mentioned, we are often caused to consider the law of Moses or think upon it. We perhaps think of those Ten Commandments that were delivered upon Mount Sinai to Moses. And we can take those commandments, we could perhaps look at just the final five of them and consider them and how they relate, if you like, to everyday life and how we should treat our fellow men. In those commandments, do we not find perfection in them? What would be the effect on society if the commandments of God were maintained and if men paid more heed to them? Men of the world try to use their own vain ideas to solve many of the world's problems. And we can consider those commands. We could take two of those commandments that relate to the family, the fifth and the seventh. What effect would be had if men and women paid more heed to even such commands as that? But as we considered, the natural man is at enmity with those commands. The natural man doesn't see the perfection of those commands. But each of us here who've had that new man, put in us, that new spirit, can see in those commands the perfection of them, and how God's wisdom in giving those commands is beneficial to all of society. Therefore, each one of us here should delight in the word and in the law for the perfection of it, and for all that we have been redeemed from. There should also be then a reaction to delighting in God's word. And this is also found in that psalm. For that second half of that verse says, "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." The man, the woman, that true saint of God who delights in the law of the Lord should also be found to meditate in it day and night. The word of God is not something for a Lord's day. It is something for 7 days of the week. In modern speak, we might use that phrase 24/7. The word of God is applicable to all situations, every day of the week. And the true saint of God should daily be in the word of God, daily reflecting upon it. It's interesting to note here that it says to meditate day and night. And thinking upon this, we can see that this meditating is more than just a thinking upon the word of God or upon the law of God. It should be more than just a thinking upon it. It should be a living out of the word of God and acting out of it in our day-to-day lives. The liberal churchman, as I said, says we're not under the law, we're under grace. We don't need the law. But this verse in this psalm shows us otherwise. We only have to read Romans to see that this is otherwise. And indeed, that rendition in Romans, I'm sure Paul had this psalm in his mind in that verse when he was caused to pen those words. And the true saint of God, who is daily in the scriptures, daily delighting in it, meditating upon it day and night. By day, those that delight in the word of God, whether they be at work, with their neighbours, or with their family, it will be noted that they have been meditating upon the word of God. And at night, perhaps in the quiet of our own homes, perhaps by ourselves, when no one else sees it, in those quiet moments, God will see it. In those quiet moments, in our quiet times, we should be dwelling upon it. And it's interesting to think that it is said of Christ that he'll come as a thief in the night. And where better for the saint to be found when Christ does come than meditating upon his word and upon the law? Paul, writing to Timothy in that well-known epistle, tells us in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We're told here that all the scripture is profitable. Each and every aspect of it, from Genesis to Revelation, can teach us something, and we should be meditating upon it. Paul, in his instruction to Timothy here, tells him, that he should be considering it. Should be considering it all, for it contains doctrine. It contains reproof for correction and instruction in righteousness. And this is the reason why that blessed man doesn't walk in the way of the sinner or sit in the seat of the scornful. For it is by considering the law, considering the word of God, that we know what we shouldn't do. We can read in God's word. We can think of those proverbs that tell us to keep from sinful people, not to be led down into sin. It's such words as this. And it is by God's word that we know how to order our lives and know how to avoid the company of those that would bring us into sin. A man who is always in the scriptures will have his whole life touched by it, whether it be his work life, his family life, his church life, or even his personal walk. If he is in the scriptures daily, he will be touched by them, and he'll be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto good works. He doesn't read the word of God and then say he's free to do as he will. He will say that he is a sinner and he daily needs to come before Christ and confess his sins. But he will also realise that he must strive to keep those commands as he's been instructed to. He will acknowledge his utter need of Christ. And here we see, even in this aspect, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. The man who delights in the law will also have that spirit of the Bereans who daily search the scriptures. I'm sure those Bereans, as they daily search the scriptures, proving those words to be so, that it brought delight unto their souls. And we need to, each one of us, ask ourselves here, when we turn unto the word of God, perhaps in the morning before we go to work, or in the quietness of the evening, or in our quiet times with our family, do we delight to be in the word of God? Does it bring delight to our souls? Does it bring joy to our souls as we read of our Saviour, as we read of everything that he has done for us? It should within us stir up joy and be a blessing unto us as it reads. Let each one of us here prove that by daily reading the word, that we prove its perfection and we delight in it. Fourthly, there will also be an outcome of delighting in the word. For the man, as we said, who delights in the word of God will be noticeable by those round about, for his whole life will be effective. But in that psalm, the psalmist is caused to go on to say, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We are told that this blessed man, or the blessed man, is like that tree that is planted by rivers of water. This planting can be considered in two ways. Briefly, just to touch upon it, it can be considered that this tree or this man is planted by the Lord. Again, in the Lord's discourse in the New Testament with the Pharisees, he says that any tree that is not planted by God will be uprooted. If a man is blessed by God, knows salvation, it can be said that he is planted by God. But in relation to our topic this evening, this planting could also mean from man's perspective. Perhaps when we speak to somebody and we find out that they have moved to a new area for a certain reason, we often hear them say, putting down new roots in this area. And this is not the case for the saint who delights in God's word. For the saint who delights in God's word will be striving to put down his roots in a better place. The world may move for a better job or a better life, but the man of God, the woman of God, who read God's word, delights in it, they find themselves putting down roots in a better place. To daily delight in God's word, we're always drawing up those waters, those living waters of God's word. And we become like that tree that is planted next to a river. And by being planted next to a river, that tree receives a good supply of water. We're not told what type of river this is, but we can imagine it to be some substantial river to maintain a tree. And often a substantial river will be one of those places that will last to dry up in a time of drought. And this tree is described as bringing forth his fruit in its season. Likewise, the saint, the more that they delight in the word of God and meditate upon it, the more they should be rooted in Scripture. And in their season, they will be caused to bring forth fruit. They will be able to withstand in that day of trial. For it tells us there that the leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. For the man of God to bring forth fruit or to prosper, he must daily be in the word of God. Paul told us there that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. And this is the case for the man who wants to bring forth fruit, bear fruit in his Christian walk. He must daily be in the scriptures. If he wants to prosper in his Christian walk, he must daily be in the word. And this prospering will go on no matter what is going on. The world won't see it as a prospering. Even in times of trial and affliction, the man who is rooted in the scriptures will still be able to prosper. For a saint who is cut off from the word, that one who doesn't take it up often, doesn't delight to read it, are they not cutting off their very supply of that living water? They're not delighting to be in it. We can perhaps think of trees in times of dry weather. Remember last summer, some trees were caused to lose their leaves early due to the dry summer. Trees' fruit may go, its leaves die, and at the slightest breeze, the leaves of that tree blow off. It's not like this, the saint. If they're not daily delighting in the word of God, not daily considering it and turning unto it, their roots won't be deep, and they'll soon wither at the slightest storm. Their leaves will soon be removed, and its fruit and the fruit won't come forth. Our brother this morning was caused to consider famine. And this afternoon, as I was pondering this sermon, I was caused to think of those who do not delight to turn to the word of God. Is not that a self-imposed famine? We often make reference in prayer to the famine of the hearing of the word of God. For ourselves to knowingly not turn unto the word of God, to not knowingly attend the house of God to hear God's word, is not that putting ourselves in a situation of our own making, of self-imposed famine? How we need to be so careful not to bring a famine upon our lives. For if we do, when we're attacked by Satan, our faith will not hold. When storms of life appear, we will be unstable and we will be shakable. And when drought appears, we will soon faint. If we're grounded in God's word, if we're daily in it, we will have that faith to withstand Satan. We'll have that stature, that strength to stand when the storms of life appear. And when there is that true drought, we'll still be well supplied by God's word. It's interesting to note that as Paul goes on in that instruction to Timothy in the following chapter, he bids Timothy to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, extort with all long suffering and doctrine. It is only by Timothy considering God's word, heeding that command that Paul gives him in the preceding chapter, that he can be instant in season and out of season. If we're not delighting in the word of God and considering it, how can we speak to others of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we be instant in season and out of season? How will we be able to give her hope, an answer for that hope that was within? For we'll soon forget those passages that are so precious unto us, that speak the words of life, that speak of our Saviour. For is not the word of God the very rock that we stand upon? And we can only know it, we can only stand upon it if we know it, and we can only know it if we're daily meditating upon it. And the man of God who delights in the word of God will be like that tree. He'll be stable, unshakable. And this is in comparison to the ungodly. Time prevents us from considering a lot of an ungodly. You might like to ponder that in your own thoughts. But we're told in that psalm, the ungodly will not be so, for they'll be driven away like the chaff. They will not stand in that final day of judgment. But the man who is blessed of God, who does not walk in the way of sinners, but is found to be daily delighting in the word of God, will stand in that day. He won't be like the world who is blown about by every wind of change and won't be able to stand in that final day. In conclusion, we must then ask ourselves, do each one of us here this evening delight in the law of God? Do we delight in the word of God? Do we delight in it for Christ has fulfilled that law, has kept every aspect of it? Delight in the word of God, for it is perfect in its entirety and it converts the soul that lies in sin. Do we even delight to meditate upon the word of God, by day living it out in our lives, by night in our private lives? Are we daily in the word, searching the scriptures like the Bereans? For if we are daily searching the scriptures, we will be found to be delight in it. We will become like that tree. We will be well rooted next to the life, drawing up those wells of living water, and will be fruitful in due season. There's also a wonderful conclusion to this delight. For if we are delighting in the word of God, we shall be looking for that day and longing for that day when the Lord will appear again and call home his saints. and how we should be found, should the Lord come tonight or even tomorrow. Let each one of us be found, delighting in the word. For in that day when the Lord does come, and when this heaven, this earth, is wrapped up in judgment, and God's judgment fulfilled, and when that new heavens and new earth is formed, and each one of us take up our rightful place in that heavenly abode, is not in that day, will not in that day, the words of Scripture be truly fulfilled. For in that day, we shall see those words that are spoken of, particularly in those New Testament epistles concerning Christ's appearing, fulfilled. And will not that give us eternal delight? Therefore, we make it our prayer this evening that each one of us here may be found delighting in the Word of God, that in so doing we may be kept from the sinner and the scornful men, that we may be fruitful in our season, but most of all, we may be found delighting and looking and longing for that day when God's word is fulfilled in its entirety and we take up our rightful place upon high. May the Lord bless his word unto us this evening. Amen.
Amen.
We'll now take up our hymn books and sing that rendition of that first psalm. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. Hymn number 624. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that each one of us here may be found to delight in thy word, both in this life and in the life coming. And now, Lord, we pray that thou would go with each one of us as we go our separate ways this evening, that thou would watch over us, keep us in safety, and that thou would be pleased to bring us up to thy house again when we next are caused to meet together. And now, Lord, we pray for thy blessing to go with us, in and through thy Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.